I'm Nkosinathi Ndlovu, and this is TCS Plus, brought to you today by Binance. Binance is a cryptocurrency exchange platform where users can buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, and others. My guest today is Hannes Wissel, South Africa General Manager at Binance, who will be talking us today about the role that cryptocurrencies play in the digitization of money. Hannes, good day and welcome to the show.
Hi, Nati. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Hannes, can you start by telling us some of the trends, challenges, and opportunities shaping the future of digital banking in South Africa?
Yeah, I think if we use the term digital banking, I think it kind of describes the traditional system as it is at the moment, and that kind of assets now evolving and morphing into, I think, what is a hybrid between digital assets and traditional banking, or the fiat world, as we call it. I think looking where we come from, Nati, we've always had a very sophisticated banking system in South Africa. It's always been well run. It's well governed. It works really well. I think one of the criticisms towards it for a long time has been exclusion. And I think we've all been aware that I think a large part of our population was excluded, especially in the apartheid days, but also for a period post-apartheid, where I think the likes of the emergence of a Capitec, a Time Bank, etc., addressed that problem to a large extent. But there's still a big part of the population who can't actively participate in the economy as a result of that. I think any of us just need to go to an ATM of a month end to see what happens, where everybody just draws cash and it becomes a very short-term cash warehouse. You know. So why is that relevant? We are looking at people basically still relying on paper money for everything they do. I think the time has come for us to really seriously revisit that and looking at digital banking as electronic money as a substitute for paper money in everyday life, where we should just not really be holding paper money anymore. Where does this bring crypto in? I think in South Africa, as a result of that sophisticated banking system, we still have a system that works really well and serves most people. The speed of transacting, I think specifically at point of sale, is very fast. You're looking at 5 seconds. I think with tap technology now, it's possibly even less than 5 seconds. Now, that sounds very efficient. It sounds like it works really well, but we need to remember that in that case, the transaction is concluded and the money is taken off your bank account in 5 seconds, but the merchant per se is not necessarily paid in 5 seconds. And I think that's the bit we know. You know, optically, it looks like a transaction is concluded. The merchant's not paid, so they sometimes need to wait 7 days, 14 days for their money, depending on which system you're on and whatever mechanics is happening in the background. And I think especially in an economy like South Africa, where, you know, working capital cycles are tight, you really need to get your sales in to buy your new stock or whatever it is you're doing, get your working capital cycle to be working faster. And if I look at what crypto does, and if I look at what we've achieved with Binance Pay with some of our partners in South Africa, that cycle can be reduced to 2 days, maybe 1 day. Even using a fiat off-ramp, if we were to use crypto only, we were to pay merchants with crypto only, that would be a matter of 10 minutes if you use Bitcoin. Lightning Network, far less. If we use the BNB chain that we obviously have devised and use, that's sometimes under a minute. So then your working capital cycle becomes almost immediate. So it's really a spectrum of these settlement cycles, I think, that'll drive it in the future. And I think the small and medium SMEs, you know, they will propagate more and more for the increased settlement cycle. So it's come a very long way, but I think there's still some efficiencies to be gained. And this is only in country. I think the moment we start looking across the border, it looks even more challenged. And I think that'll be addressed over time as well.
Okay. So how is Binance capitalizing on this rapid adoption of mobile banking and the advancements in financial technology?
So we've been a leader in the crypto space ever since the company was formed in 2017. And within 6 months of our formation, we were the biggest crypto exchange in the world. The team at that stage, led by Changpeng Zhao, or CJ as we all know him, innovated very rapidly around products development specifically, and not only creating an exchange for crypto where you can buy and sell Bitcoin, which is where a lot of the other players focused. Very shortly thereafter, we rolled out Binance Pay, we rolled out the futures product, we rolled out peer-to-peer trading, and all of that is crypto for different situations and different scenarios. And we're really trying to get to different market segments. I mean, the derivatives product silo is for the institutional market, primarily aimed at the institutional market. The Binance Pay and peer-to-peer is aimed at the retail market. So really bringing crypto to all spheres of the population, making it as accessible as possible. And our fees has always been very low. I mean, it's currently, depending on where you're trading, but in the region of 0.1%. And that is making finance accessible to everybody. And it's always been our goal.
All right. So could you give us some examples then of how blockchain technology can help enhance security of transactions?
Yes. So I think there's again, layers of this. So if you look at the blockchain specifically, you look at Bitcoin and the underlying technology of Bitcoin, you look at the Bitcoin mining algorithms, the scaling and descaling sophistication of that as the market volumes increase and decrease. That in itself is designed to be very complex for a reason that it can't be hacked. It's also based on a consensus mechanism where the miners, as the key settlement agents, incentivize to do so independently, unless 51% of them give their indication or vote for a specific change in Bitcoin, there's going to be no change on Bitcoin, which at this stage is a very good thing. So you've got that first layer one at the blockchain settlement level security, which is very sophisticated. With that comes big, you know, long transaction hashes, long passwords and everything to get into your wallet, etc. So you bring that into exchange. We simplify it. You can use your Android device or your Apple device, you can use your biometrics to come into your account. But at the same time, we provide that custody to the user. We've got what we call a SAFU fund that we have established, and at some stage, 10% of our revenues went into this fund. So if there is ever a dispute and it looks like Binance was hacked for whatever reason, then that's the fund that we use to pay our users out. So you've got that first layer at the blockchain security. Then at the exchange level, we've got security as well. So in the almost 3 years that I'm with the company now, I've not seen a significant hack. There was one evening when they tried to get into the BNB chain, it was cut off and stopped very quickly. And yeah, I think a lot of the fraud we see is almost at the peripheral of crypto. So in the fiat world, from the fiat world to crypto. And then also, you know, the investment scams and the financing scams. I think that becomes education matters, you know, we always invite everybody to go to our Binance Academy website and say, guys, look at all the type of scams that's out there. A lot of the stuff, you know, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So just look again. You will never give your hands to someone you've not met, unless it's, let's say you trade with Takealot, as a good example. You know Takealot, you know what they do, you know they deliver. So if I say you know them, you've got that transactional relationship with them that goes back a long time. But with crypto, we often find, Nati, that people just see something that looks so good and they just hand over the crypto to someone they've never met and never transacted with. And it's astonishing. And we just say, guys, just look again. Please just revisit all these things. Make sure if it looks too good to be true and you don't have proof of concept, just look again. Yeah, and I think that's the type of things we certainly look out for. We ask everybody to be super cautious of.
So, Hannes, how does decentralized finance or DeFi make financial services in Africa more accessible to everyone?
So I think just the concept first is that DeFi is not something we've developed or only something I think we've participated in from the outset. But DeFi really stands for decentralized finance, and that's what the blockchain is.
Oh, okay.
It's really designed in a way where you obviously have the centralized exchanges like Binance, and then you have a lot of decentralized wallets and apps and things that you can use. Very useful, specifically in cases where I think people feel unsafe. You know, you don't want to carry a Binance app in your phone in a country where you think someone could attack you. So that could be very useful. We've, however, devised a web, what we call a Web3 wallet, which is really a DeFi wallet for our Binance customers. This gives them the opportunity to carry that on their app, on their phone, on the basis that it's not on the Binance exchange. It is held in a DeFi wallet, or it is a DeFi wallet. So we give users that product as well. The advantage of it is in the markets like South Africa, where you're regulated, you also then have recourse to a regulator if something goes wrong. Whereas if you go and use one of the DeFi wallets that is not within the ambit of, let's say, South Africa's FSCA regulation space, something goes wrong, you can't go anywhere. I mean, who do you go to? You know, the regulator is going to say, but you traded with a wallet that's not regulated by us. We cannot help you. You can try your luck if you know where the specific wallet operates, but I think the probability of success of recovering your funds is extremely low. Back to your question in terms of how this works for Africa. In the beginning, we spoke about the sophistication of the banking system in South Africa, which it is. But I think north of our borders, there's a lot of countries that do not have sophisticated banking systems. And it becomes very difficult to transact in many of these countries. It's for many reasons still really dollar-based. I see the Central Bank of Zimbabwe made a declaration last week that they're going to now trade only on the new currency, the ZiG, and they're going to phase out dollar trading. We'll need to see how that goes. I mean, the ZiG didn't have a great start. So we need to make sure that, well, they need to make sure that they protect their citizens from hyperinflation again. But when you trade using DeFi wallets and you use stuff like stablecoins, I always say make sure you know who issues the stablecoin. I think the bigger players like Tether and Circle has done a great job with their Circle coins. But you always need to just watch them and see, you know, is the attestation reports, does it stack up? Do they have everything they say and the big ones do? For now, and long may that last. But for the smaller ones, just make sure you know who you're dealing with and they actually say they've got the collateral. Well, they actually can prove that they've got the collateral they say they have. So that's one of the important considerations. But all those things in place, I think it's got a vital role to play in Africa because it just makes transacting so much easier. I think most Africans have a phone now. In South Africa, we know our phone density or SIM card density is more than one per person. So we know most people got a phone. And yeah, I mean, in those less sophisticated markets, it just makes the ease of transacting so much better, you know. So it definitely has a big and growing role to play in Africa.
Okay. And in what other ways would you say Binance is contributing to this revolution where money is becoming digitized?
I originally referred to some of the products we have that's very unique to our offering. Let's take Binance Pay as an example. I think our most famous partnership at this stage is with Crypto Convert and Pick and Pay, where you can use your crypto to buy groceries or whatever you buy at Pick and Pay. Why I think our product is leading in that sense is you can actually prioritize your whatever we call your liquidation order. So let's say you have three cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and the BNB coin. You can say, okay, take my BNB coin first, then my Ethereum, then my Binance coin. So it's not a case if you open your wallet and you say, okay, well, I bought some stuff today, but I had to pay in Bitcoin and I actually want to pay in BNB coin. So you can prioritize that as well. That on the one side, in a sophisticated market, works really well. Then you look at the less sophisticated markets where the peer-to-peer traders actually becomes more prevalent and more vital because you just literally trade from one person to South Africa. I think the banking equivalent in South Africa in that sense is PayShap, which I think is a brilliant product, but not everybody has access to it. To whereas from a crypto perspective, it's easier to get this type of access, and it's all QR code-based. You just need to make sure, again, like with anything in any transactional relationship, I think you just need to make sure you know exactly what you're dealing with.
Okay. All right. That is Hannes Wessels, General Manager at Binance South Africa. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you, Nati.